Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
To be on should be.
So, it's as we record this. I mean,
yeah,
we were not supposed to. We're not supposed to timestamp podcasts and programs because they said that you. What do they want? Want them to be evergreen or something? So that it's always. It can fit in at
relevant.
Any. Yeah, whatever. Nothing. But I mean, it's Valentine's Day. Right, this is Valentine's Day, okay, and I think all of our fans. Last week, I did get some messages. You know, they wanted me to tell you their condolences about your, you know, about your brother.
That's right,
about your brother, and I saw the picture. I'll put it up when this episode comes out of his casket because some people wanted to see what the casket.
Oh, did I send it to you?
Well,
I tweeted it. You took it off.
Yeah, I didn't take it off there yet.
I am on Twitter, so that's fine.
But I'll share it. It was a very fine looking casket.
In today's world, I'm supposed to put that out there in my Twitter followers will boom, right? Isn't that what they do?
Something. Footprint. I don't know. They'll retweet it. You'll go viral. You know, maybe if we'd have put it to a TikTok video.
That's Russian.
Spyware. I thought that was Chinese spyware.
It's all the same. Chinese, Russian, whichever, whoever. You know, it depends on your audience. You know, I'm fluid. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, here we're talking on Valentine's Day, and, you know, you and I, before we got on, were discussing some affairs that just weren't – I guess you put it pretty eloquently. The end can come at any time, so we
that's
might as
exactly
well just
right.
We
that's
might
exactly
as well just
right.
So, live in the moment, so, live it up, and
yes, I don't know. Did I talk about it last week at all?
About
finding him or any of that stuff?
We ended it with we're going to the funeral. Who knows what might happen?
Right. Okay. So I don't remember. So, he's had some health issues the last couple of years, and he made a conscious decision. You know, he had a spot on his lung, a spot on his pancreas. He had had two head surgeries in the last 5 years. He had made a conscious effort decision to say, hey, I'm riding this thing out right here at my house, smoking cigarettes and going to work every day. And because he got to work from home, he really only had to go in once or twice a week. Does that make sense? So the rest of the time he could sit there and, you know, just work. Right. So, as opposed to, hey, we're going to have to do a biopsy on your lung, high biopsy on your pancreas. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that. You're going to have to quit smoking. You're going to have to quit drinking. You're going to have to do, you know what I'm saying? And that just did not appeal to him whatsoever, because in the end result, ain't none of us getting out of here alive, right?
Amen.
So he made a conscious decision to ride it into the ground. And you know, he went to bed and never woke up, so it worked out for him. And you know what's funny? Not really funny, but I had so many people come up to visitation that didn't know, you know, guys he worked with didn't know he was that sick. And then guys that he knew for years that said, hey, we haven't seen him 2 or 3 years. And he come by the shop 3 weeks ago and spent 2 hours there. So I think in his mind, his affairs were settled. Does that make sense? Emotionally, he had said goodbye to a lot of people. You know, there were some people he had worked with years ago when he was, just doing odd jobs, old guys that are in their 80s now, and he had called them and went out and visited with them, and some of them are absolutely devastated, because a couple of them he just kept in contact all these years, and they just thought, you know, I don't know. So, but what I didn't like about the whole deal is he had told a bunch of people, especially of the female persuasion, I mean the biological female, not the new gals. He ran around with girls in the 80s and the 90s, so, you know, he knows what, that, hey, if I die, just come by and take what you want because I'll be gone.
Yeah, what's he care, right? Yeah, hey.
Right. Come and you know what's funny is I said, I had one yesterday tell me, hey, I don't know how many keys there are to this front door, because he told me only a few people had it, and he's rattled off 6 or 7, right? And I said, it doesn't matter, I changed it already. So me and my brother left. I changed the garage door code the first night, but I left the front door. And the next day, my brother says, I think somebody's been in here. Maybe 2 days later, my brother says, I think somebody's been in here. And I said, who'd come up? You know, who? So then we went ahead and changed the front door, you know. But my public service announcement is, get your shit in order, you people out there in listening land, right? Yep. All you got to do is do a short will, or get a big chief tablet and a piece of paper and in a fat pencil, and write something down and have it signed with a couple witnesses or something, because there's a lot of personalities involved, and everybody will think they know what you wanted. And if they don't, sometimes, you know, the winning person, it's kind of like government, right? What you want might not be what happens, no matter how hard you lobby.
There you go. Right? There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
And then
the next thing
I would say is, make sure you go put a transfer on death on your bank accounts. Or a signer, so they can either access your money or at least get it, so it's just not sitting there forever.
Mm-hmm. Or in my case, just don't have any money, right? I mean,
well, you know, it's what's funny is, yes, that's probably the best way to do it.
See, I've been planning for my death for at least 30 years now.
But in that case, just go get a little $10,000 policy or something, so everybody can't try to figure out who's what paying happened, for what. You know what I mean?
Who's paying and what money? And what happened to all my fortune?
Uh-huh. Right.
Hey, and it's funny, you know, and as we get older, we're all like, you know, all of our parents and grandparents and stuff have, you know, have gone, and we're all experiencing this at different times in our lives. And I heard a great, you know, I'm a big fan of Marc Maron, you know that. And he was talking to the actress Anna Gasteyer from Saturday Night Live today's episode. And she was talking about how her parents are getting older and how she wished they would start, like you said, getting stuff a little more in order. And she talked about how her father-in-law, 85 years old, had sold his 7-bedroom house and went down to a 1,000 square foot apartment. And she said, but the great thing was, is they as a family got to go through this huge house with a lifetime full of his memories, his collections and stuff. And with him got to look at the stuff one more time, decide the few things that he wanted to take with him. And then he got to come to grips with them. Like, yeah, I this is where I bought that. This is where I got that. This is, you know, these are these pictures from this trip. Or, you know, he got to relive all these great, happy memories with them and then kind of move on. And she said it was great. Because it wasn't them as a grieving family having to go through all this stuff and not knowing what to do with it. He got to say what he wanted to do with it, get rid of it, give it to, you know, if somebody wanted something. And she said it was just great. She goes, because now he doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff. It's all that stuff's gone. He's living in this little house. He's got his books on this. Actually, he had the biggest collection of literature on the Spanish-American War in the country.
Which everybody would want.
And he donated it to his alma mater. He got to see what happened to that. And you know, and as we discussed before, today is the anniversary of my old man dying. Valentine's Day, 1997. Valentine's Day, 1997. Yeah, so what's that make it? 25-year anniversary.
25-year anniversary. Silver anniversary, isn't it?
Yeah. My old man, he went to sleep on Valentine's Day. My mom was out watching a movie in the living room and came in, and he was dead in the bed, you know? Well, so 49 years old. 49 years old. And
that's what, hey, when I told my kids, it's funny you say that like that, because I told my oldest boy, I brought him with me, you know, because he just enlisted in the Navy and he hadn't left yet. And he really didn't want to go. And I said, no, you're going to be a grown up. You know, you're going to be in the military. You need to see, you know, what goes on. Who knows? One of these days you might be taking care of me. And that's what I remember he looked over at me. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, I'm just kind of shocked, you know, because he adored his uncle. This was the cool uncle, right?
Oh, and, yeah. Yeah. Sounded like it.
And I said, hey, you know, if you look at them old timers, especially in Hollywood or whatever, you know, when they were drinking and smoked their whole life, they died in their 50s, right?
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, you live a life like that, you're going to die premature, probably in your 50s. So, you know, dad dying at 49. I mean, that's just the way the old timers were, right?
He was a smoking, drinking, riding a motorcycle. You know, eating a bologna sandwich with, you know, and eating a bag of chips every day. And, I can't imagine my dad being an old man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine. That's what me and my brother was saying. My brother, because I kind of was beating myself up a little bit, you know, because I skipped a day and a half to go check on him because of snow. And usually when I check on him and you couldn't find him, he's shacked up with some old gal somewhere hiding out, you know? So what?
That's just
a fact, right? Just 3 weeks ago, yeah. My mom was hit a panic button and said, where's he? We got to find him. And it was because he had his phone muted because he was out, you know, doing some covert ops. And, So my little brother said, hey, don't beat yourself up, dude. It's better, you know, if we'd have got there early and they would have saved him or something, he'd be over there at the hospital, plugged up to a bunch of machines, and that was completely what he was trying to avoid, right?
Yeah. He went out the way he wanted to.
Right.
You know?
Right.
My old man always told us, if you guys ever try to put me in a home, he goes, you'll never see me again. Well, what are you talking? You know, and this is him talking in his 40s. He's like, you'll never see me again. He goes, I'll pack a bag and I'll crawl out the window. And he goes, I'll disappear. He goes, I ain't going out sitting in a hospital bed waiting to die. And, so what I want to tell, you know, the other thing I kind of want to talk to our listeners about, because a lot of our listeners that listen to us listen to the paranormal part of the podcast. And one of our, I found out last week, and this was a total shock, that one of our former guests, Brian from West Virginia, who came on to the paranormal part of the show and talked about UFOs and some Bigfoot on his property, passed away last week. 48, I think he's 48 years old. 48 years old. Listeners will know who Bo Kennedy of the Bump podcast was. And he let me know. I mean, he was just shocked because he had talked to Brian as recently as Sunday. And I told you, you know, Brian had reached out to me a couple weeks ago to see how Jason and I were feeling. And then here he turns around and he passes away. And he was a huge, huge Howler fan. And I had told him he had some funny West Virginia highway or state police stories. And I said, well, you just wait. We'll bring you on and you can start telling them. You can tell them to the Howler and I. And I go, you know, who knows what tangent that might send the Howler off on. And,
well, you know, that's right. And because I told you, I, you know, my mom always said, you know, she'd always that good Baptist and say, you better get right with Lord because you don't know when he's coming or vice versa. And that's when I said, yeah, let's just talk about that because just my brother had about two thirds. He had everything up to death figured out. Does that make sense? Like he had put me
yeah,
in
he
charge
didn't,
of
he
a
didn't
bunch
have,
of stuff.
Yeah, he didn't have his casket picked out. He didn't have
you know what I mean? He had, but yeah. But when it comes to the actual where you want to be buried, well, I don't know. Does it really matter? I'm dead. Well, it doesn't matter to you right now, but I'm telling you, between your mom and dad, it matters, right? Or some of these crazy girlfriends of yours, it matters, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and you may not have been expecting it. I mean, like you said, it almost seems like he kind of knew. And yeah. But maybe he didn't know it was going to be, you know, last week. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
So, yeah. And then the other thing is all these people wanted in his phone.
They wanted to get into his phone?
Well, yeah. These girls, that was their first question. You get his phone because, you know, he sent me a picture. He wanted this or he wanted that. You know what I mean? And I had mixed emotions, and then they were going, well, you know, all you got to do is bring the death certificate on the Apple store and they'll open it for you and all this other stuff. And I asked my little brother, who's kind of been helped me with all this. So I said, hey, what do you think? And he said, dude, I'd throw him in the river.
Yeah. Do you really want to get into his phone and find something?
And I said, you know, I got his Apple username and password. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit down right here. This was day or two yesterday, I think, or 2 days. I'm getting my days mixed up. Sunday, because we had the funeral, so it had been yesterday. We had the funeral Saturday. We actually put him in the ground on Saturday. And Sunday, with my brother sitting there, I signed in with my – because I had my brother – I get on my brother's past laptop. Anyway, make a long story short, I remotely deleted them, and you Apple users know what I'm talking about. And I just conked them out, man, because I thought, you know – this dude had a password protected for a reason. Right?
Yeah.
I got 14,000 pictures on his computer, and I'm not making that up, of other stuff. We don't really need to see what's on his phone. But I guess that's part of the closure that, you know, you have after a loss, right?
Yeah.
You know? And then there were some people that had specific items they were looking for.
Like you stuff know, they had given him, or are you
yes,
talking about
like
still
one
stuff
of them was
on
a little. He was a Trekkie, and one of them had this little like a Star Wars desktop thing. The little what's it called? The Starship Enterprise.
Yeah,
so,
the USS Enterprise.
So
yeah,
there was whatever. A few of them that if they knew exactly, I mean, they told me exactly what they wanted, right? And I give it to them.
Because you knew it was actually
yes, I knew
something.
They, you know, and a lot of it was because they give it to them. Or, you know, one of them, he had these Star Trek Christmas lights, and this gal wanted part of them because he that was, that was, that meant so much to him, you know what I mean? He certain things they wanted, right?
So in other words, she wanted that because that was going to remind her of him.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I got it. You hit the nail on the head though, man. You know, it's, you gotta get, might as well just live every day till it's fullest. Cause let's face it, 51's too young to die. Uh-huh. 61 now seems too young to die, and even 71 seems too young to die. You know, so
right.
I, you know, back when we were in our 20s, and I hardly even thought I would ever. I didn't even know it would take forever to get to 50. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, it never takes 50 years to get there.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, man, I got all kinds of time. Where did that time go?
Time go? I feel the same way.
So maybe since this is, you know, this has been kind of a downer, maybe we should, maybe you should tell a funny, do you got a funny story for in honor of Brian? Brian's probably listening. Brian's probably doesn't even have to list. Wait till the episode comes out. Now he's probably listening.
Yeah, he's
to
probably
it
listening right here. Yeah. You know, Well, I got, well, I just thought of one from this weekend, but I don't know if it might be in poor taste. So let me think.
When has that ever stopped?
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you exactly. Now we're out there on this country cemetery out in a little town in Southeast Missouri. Okay. And if any of y'all ever been to Southeast Missouri, it's flat as a pool table, as far as the eye can see. Right. You know, it was just old, you know, they farm a lot of rice, a lot of other, anyway, but my dad was telling the story that, you know, he kept telling everybody, well, you better wear some warm clothes. The coldest funeral I ever been to was down there when your mom's uncle died or grandma died or something. And they built this cemetery on the side of the hill because it was the only thing that didn't flood. Right. Back in the old days.
Makes sense.
You know, and he said the wind will blow and it'll be cold and, you know, it'll be 40 and rainy is what it's supposed to be. So. Anyhow. We're waiting. The first people there, we actually passed the hearse had about 200 mile drive.
Holy moly. Okay.
Yeah, because we buried him down where my mom and her parents are buried, as opposed to, you know, 5 miles away where my dad's family's buried. But that, they see, and that goes in with the, you don't care, but there's people that do care.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So we were driving down the interstate, and we decided we were going to leave. I had some of my siblings and went down the night before. My littlest brother was already there staying with my mom, but me and my truck driving/car dealer brother, we decided we were going to start. We just drive down in the morning and come back at night because mom's little house ain't big enough for all of us, you know? And so I had, me and my brother. So I had my oldest boy and my daughter in the back seat of my truck. I'm trying to think. Anyway, we get up in the morning. We go to meet my brother at a commuter parking lot. And then I wasn't able to sleep. I didn't sleep good at all last week. And I certainly didn't sleep the night before we were going to bury my brother. So I wanted to drive through McDonald's to get the kids something to eat, you know. My brother was in the passenger seat. I was in the driver's seat. My two oldest kids were in the back. And I told him, I said, I was really hoping you'd drive because I wanted to take a nap. And he said, well, here, I'll drive. So right there in the drive-thru, I jumped around to the passenger side, and we were driving. Of course, I didn't go to sleep. I ended up talking, but we're driving down the interstate, and way out in front, you know, a big flat spot, you could see a hearse. And he goes, well, we're going to pass him right here, as a kind of a joke. But then as we getting up, and I said, dude, that's got to be him, right? So I made a little video. I had to go through. I said, slow down so we can get the right music. And I had to get on my Cyrus, and you know, I had a little, you know, Tupac or something, California. I forgot what I had on before passing. And we made a little video, right? And we laughed and cut it up. And I don't know, 40 hour later, we stopped so I could go pee. And we get on the interstate. And dang if we didn't come up to him again. But this time I said, really slow down and let's get it right. So I made a better video the second time, right? Passing him, and we're just joking. And then we get down this little country town. And my boy said, well, I should have brought my Bluetooth speaker because the funeral home offered to play music at the side of the cemetery and all that. And we just decided not to because you're going to have all these old people out there on a cold, rainy day on the side of the hill. And I'd already told mom to tell the preacher that we don't want to be there all day.
Make it quick.
Yes, because, you know, that's just fact of it. We're going to go to church after this and we can talk there if he wants to talk. And of course, so my son says, I wish I'd brought my Bluetooth speaker. And I said, well, hell, there's Dollar General right there at my mom's house. We'll just buy one. They ain't $20. And he wanted to play the Star Wars theme. You know what I mean? Done. When we took him out of the hearse. So as we're getting a dollar, my brother says, no, mom's going to flip out, which would be my son's grandma. She won't let us, you know, she's already got no sense of humor on this whole deal. And and danged if the hearse didn't pass us again and beat us to the cemetery. So the first two rigs in the cemetery was the hearse, and then obviously the backhoe guys, you know, they were sitting over the truck, and we were behind the hearse, and it made a kind of a loop. It goes up this hill and loops back down, and we were about 2/3 the way back down the hill. It was the hearse, and then I was parked right behind it, and then we jump out to talk to the funeral director and the hearse driver. Me and my brother did, and then my daughter and son wanted to jump out. My daughter had this skirt on. It was a tasteful skirt, but I told her to put pants on because it was going to be windy and rainy, and she said the best pair of pants she had, she wore to the visitation on Thursday, and she didn't want to wear them on Saturday because people would know she wore the same pants twice. I tried to explain to her they wouldn't, because one thing, people don't remember, and two things, there's only a select few people that's going to go to both because they're 180 miles apart, right?
Yeah.
So we're on a hillside, and there was a SUV down by the gravediggers parked there, and I realized that was my aunt. I said, go down there and get in her car if you're cold, which she did. Then my brother went down there, and then I walked down there, and while I was standing there talking to my uncle, who's from Southwest Missouri, which is probably why he asked this question, he said, hey, Jim, what's with all that? What's with that cemetery down there in the flat? Now, we're on this big hillside cemetery, and right at the foot of the hill is a flat cemetery. I mean, it, and you know it's a separate cemetery because every single one of the headstones is exactly the same. And it's on the level ground. And I said, you know, I would think it's because they're Catholic or black. And he goes, no way. And I said, yes way. It's because they're either Catholic or black. They got them in a separate section of the cemetery. And he said, they can't do that nowadays. And I said, I don't know what they can do or can't do, but back in the old days, they had a separate one. And I said, so he goes, well, are they Catholic or black? And I said, I would assume they're Catholic. And he goes, well, how do you know? And I said, they got them headstones. I said, the black guys, they didn't, you know what I mean? They were kind of on their own. And he's, no way. So sure enough, when the gravediggers come around there, I said, hey, dude, what's the deal with things down there? And he said, well, that's the Catholics. I said, I told you. Now, that's a kind of a tasteless story, but that's the way the world is in some places still. Now, what I started to laugh at, I told my uncle, I said, you don't know that because you're from Southwest Missouri and there ain't no Catholics and there ain't no blacks. So you didn't even think like that.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. So my poor dad. So, you know, we stand around and jaw as everybody gets there, you know, because some people hadn't seen people in years. And finally, I had to say, hey, it's no good to give us lean on the preacher here, telling him hurry up if we're going to stand here and jaw for 30 minutes. So we got that fancy oak casket that didn't have any handles because they told me if they'd charge me more for handles and I couldn't use them. And I said, do what? Yeah, the handles are just decorative. So I said, well, but they put a groove on the bottom to when you reach underneath to hold on to it.
Ah, I gotcha. Right?
And it wasn't much. I'm telling you, it was tough there for a second. I had me and my two brothers, It went me in the front, my next brother to the right, behind me, my next brother, to his right, my son, you know, and then my two youngest brothers behind them. And, well, anyway, it was a lot more work than we thought it was going to be. But we got him up there, and we got him in the ground, and my dad wanted to stay until he was completely covered up, right? He wanted to stay to the end. So me and my two oldest brothers behind me, because now I'm the oldest, stayed with us. So there's three of us up there, and everybody else went to the church to eat, you know, because they had food. So we're standing there, and my uncle was with us too. My dad's little brother was with us. We're standing there. And my brother said, you need to go down and tell him, because the grave diggers are still sitting in this crew cab Chevy truck. My brother says, you need to go down and tell them guys to get on this stick. You know, they're waiting for us to leave to cover him up. So I had to go down and tell them guys, hey, you better get on it, they said, because otherwise we'll never get out of here. And these guys are, see, you serious? I said, yep. Well, I'd screwed them up when I first pulled up there. They were with the funeral director, you know, going over whatever they go over. And I stepped out and I said, hey, because my dead brother's a big union man. And I said, we got a union steward in the coffin there, in the hearse. So I need everybody's union card, or you're going to be asked to leave his job site. And it looked like, you know, these old boys looked like Larry the Cable Guy and his two twin brothers. There was three of them, and they had a four-wheel drive extended cab dually, not a four-door dually, extended cab dually. And they made one of these poor big guys in the back seat of that thing, and he was so big he had to sit sideways in the back. You know, he couldn't sit.
So and that just like makes sense. Why you make that poor
like
guy sit?
Old vaudeville thing, you know, in the olds where they had like five. How many people got stuck in the car?
Yeah, the clown car. The clown car, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what it was like watching these old boys get out. Hey, the time we got to the church, it ate almost everything. I got one piece of leftover chicken. That's all I had, and a few little things. It was mashed potatoes were all gone. Great. They all ate without us. The principals of the funeral. Okay, the dad and two of the oldest brothers, and they ate. They didn't even have any food for us. They ate without us. You'd have thought that they'd have saved us something, or
at least made you plate, right?
You'd have thought, but nope. That's what kind of family we got right there.
Well, hopefully you got all your affairs in order, because. You know, and maybe that should be at the top of it. Leave whoever's left a plate. Make sure they get something to eat before I get in the ground.
Yeah, right. So, I don't know.
Well, you know, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I hope we didn't we don't have a whole audience out there of people crying.
Well, I will leave on a funny note because I started getting these little, I started going over there every day after work. I worked a couple of days last week because why not, you know? And when I changed the lock and then the keypad, some of these gals, that's how I end up, they leave a little handwritten notes. Can you please call? Huh?
Oh, yeah, okay.
With a phone number, yes. So then I'd be, so I never called any of them first. I had my truck driving brother cold call him because he, you know, as a former truck driver and current car salesman, he's better at cold calling and getting right to the facts, right? So I would text him and he's like, oh, you're kidding me. And I said, no, here's another one right here. And then he would, you know, the very first one, I said, what do you think she looks like? And he goes, stand around there for 30 minutes and you'll find out, because I told her you're there and she's on her way.
Do you have anything you'd like to report or not?
No, if there's a lot I'd like to talk about. Okay. Unfortunately, we have made a pact not to talk about some of the real funny stuff.
Well, on that note, let's hope that between now and next episode, we don't have any more downer news.
Yeah, anybody else pass? Hey, that's right.
But when this episode comes out, Jason should be getting out of the hospital, so we got that to look forward to. So he's supposed to get out. Supposed to get out the day this episode comes out.
Well, I hope he makes it, man. I hope he makes it. So
I hope he does too, man. Because you know, we don't get paid enough to be doing his job.
That's right.
And doing our own.
That's right. Typical union production, right?
Amen.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.